All right. Welcome to the DD&D podcast. Where Kano plays weird music in the background. Kingdom replacement?
I am a pit! Bull!
No. Yeah. No updates, but I haven't really been keeping on top of it either.
Shame on you.
Shame on me. Shame on you.
Let's see now. What? Oh, man. Oh, because it didn't go there. Let's see now. Where does it go? I don't have that page open. Okay, I got to open that page. There we go.
Hey. Why don't you open that page?
Yeah. So, looking into this product called Organic Sulfur. All right.
Yeah, organic sulfur is bad for you.
Yeah, so bad for you. It dries off the ticks and fleas and all sorts of stuff. Gets extra oxygen in your blood and, you know. Anyway, if we were to order it through
American Dream Home Improvement.
Say what?
American Dream Home Improvement.
No, American Voice Radio. They want $39.99 plus $8 shipping and handling. So $48 for 1 pound. And that works out to about 112 servings.
And how many servings a day do you want or need?
At least one.
So $10 a month, basically.
Yeah. Now, that's per 100 pounds of body weight. So, like, I hate to admit it, I need almost two servings.
That's okay. I need a serving and a half.
Yeah, okay. I'll go with that. A serving and a half.
Yeah, I'm a JVF.
Yeah, no, I need two servings. I need a little bit more than two servings. Not much more than two servings, but I still need a little more than two servings. All right.
You need 20 servings.
I called this guy and I, wow, that's kind of neat. Huh. Anyway, I called him and asked him basically what's the difference between their product and other people's products, all right? And the four different chemical names I saw basically replacing the F with a pH is, you know, personal preference. The dropping the L from sulfonyl is a spelling error. But it's a common one because they drop it off of the pH spelling and the F spelling both. So if you see methyl sulfony methane, what you got is somebody who doesn't know how to spell.
So basically, kind of like the coon-coon pig, it's got like three different spellings for coon-coon.
Yeah, yeah. That's not so critical, but you misspell a chemical name, that could be a problem. Because there might actually be a methyl sulfony.
And it might actually go boom!
It might actually kill you.
That too.
Anyway.
Well, that's just like fluoride. Supposedly there's a natural fluoride, and then there's a toxic waste fluoride. And the toxic waste fluoride is the fluoride they put in our water.
Well, yeah, because it's cheaper. And actually, the medical grade one that your dentist is supposed to use costs an astronomical amount, and it might not be much better than the toxic waste one. It's just it's been purified.
Yeah, but there's a natural, it may not actually be a fluoride, but there's a natural substance that has a similar name.
Well, it might be an organic compound. I mean, I strongly do not suggest going out and eating sulfur directly.
Right.
But this organic sulfur helps with, you know, transporting oxygen and pain relief and cleaning toxins out. All right. You know, honestly, I would rather find out which plants were high in it and eat them directly. Because there's going to be other chemicals you need along with it. But, you know, what they point out is there's a lot of things that we eat that block it. I'll read this blurb off of American Voice Radio about it in a little bit. But the gentleman I talked to today, and I wish I could remember his name, I'll give his website here in a little bit. I have to look it up. You know, he was kind enough to talk to me for quite a while, all right? He gave me a recipe and such and gave some descriptions, and I can't even remember half the stuff. I tried to take notes. Anyway, the three things that they do to MSM that generally renders it no good is one, they overheat it, okay? So if they get it over 237 degrees plus, and he told me to look that up because he, you know, but anyway, if they get it over a certain temperature, whatever the melting point of sulfur is, when they get it up to that point, they've destroyed the chemical. So it's not really methyl sulfony methane anymore. Yeah, I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing that right, but anyway. For those who want to look it up, it's I left out an L. Let me start over. methylsulfonyl. That'd be methyl sulfonyl methane. Okay. And it's abbreviated MSM. And when I looked it up, there's also, there's like 24 different chemical names that they have for it, you know, but, you know, it's all the same chemical. So, anyway, so one of the first things they do is they overheat it, just in the production process, they overheat it, okay? The next thing they do is, because they don't want it clogging up their system, they crush the crystals. And it actually is important for it to be in crystalline form for it to be more effective. Okay? And then the other thing that they do is they typically add silicon dioxide or I can't think of the other chemical that typically anyway, they add different chemicals for anti-caking. All right? You know, you buy sea salt and they add a chemical for anti-caking, don't buy it.
Right, because we want to be kinky.
Yeah. Your salt is going to dissolve when it hits anything moist anyway, so who cares if it clumps together? Crush it with your spoon. You want it to cake together. You want to have lots of magnesium in it so it sticks together. Jeez.
We want cakey salt.
Yeah, we want cakey salt. Anyway, one of the tests he suggested for it is you take it and pour some water on it and then pour off the extra water and let it dry. All right? The stuff that they crushed will kind of form a blob. Doesn't look good, all right? The stuff that was crystalline will crystallize and have nice, you know, nice shape to it. So, you know, that's good to know. All right. So, I haven't read this fully, but this is from American Voice Radio, their advertisement on it. Organic sulfur. Methyl sulfonyl methane is a critical bioavailable form of sulfur that has been missing from our diet since 1954. Diseases we hadn't even heard of have become typical. Cancer has grown to an unprecedented rate, and the quality of our food has been greatly diminished. Is there a correlation here?
No.
Organic sulfur is MSM. Organic sulfur is an accurate description of pure crystallized MSM. Organic sulfur has no filters, no caking agents, and has not been overprocessed into a fine powder. And that is the difference. Not all MSM can claim that. I take the organic sulfur we sell here at AVRN daily, but I also took pure MSM for years before we started selling it with the same great results. Myself, I am less concerned with how a supplement is made or how it is named than with does it work for me or not. However, some people are concerned with that. So for you, I will include some explanations concerning that. MSM is organic sulfur in the sense that it is naturally occurring molecule that contains 11 atoms bonded into one configuration. Saving the science lesson, DMSO and MSM fall to the ground in rainwater and are absorbed by plants and animals. However, this happens in such small amounts that it could never be available or be commercially extracted. So, there is not and has never been any natural organic sulfur or MSM available on the market. If MSM or organic sulfur has been available for purchase, it has been man-made, period. Okay. So what he's saying is organic sulfur isn't really organic. You know, it's always a man-made product. Okay. Man has made some very beneficial things, so I wouldn't get all bent out of shape just yet. There are rumors that MSM is made from chemicals or organic sulfur is, and organic sulfur is made from trees. This is not true. However, there is a basis for the claim that organic sulfur is made from trees. There was a company in, oh boy, I can't pronounce this, B-O-G-A-L-U-S-A, Bogalusa. Oh, okay, it's a town. Bogalusa, Louisiana, named Gaylord Chemical, that made DMSO, and MSM is a form of DMSO. By combining sulfur with paper mill pulp liquids, purified and distilled them to create DMSO. However, the plant shut down in 2010 and moved to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and their new facility used hydrogen sulfide and methanol as the raw materials to make DMS.
PMS? We don't want PMS.
I think they left the O off, which is then used to make, oh, okay. All right, they use those materials to make DMS, which is then used to manufacture DMSO, like every other known DMSO manufacturer in the world. MSM/organic sulfur is made from basically mixing DMSO with hydrogen peroxide. So what is left? The purification method. There is a big corporation out there called Bergstrom Nutrition, Inc., who has many, many what I would call propaganda agents that claim over and over that their distillation process is superior, although they can never seem to get through their explanation without using scare tactics to demonstrate their so-called superiority. Keep in mind that this corporation only began in 1988 and only started manufacturing MSM for human consumption in 1997, and their plants were certified in 2000. MSM has been around, used, and benefited people long before Bergstrom Nutrition, Inc. was ever created. The long-accepted and proven method is the crystallization method. Online, you will see that the exact marketing propaganda that emanates from Bergstrom Nutrition, Inc., repeated verbatim by their salespeople, but as they use the scare tactic of heavy metals and chlorine, they neglect to mention that organic sulfur / MSM is a sulfate. That means that if, and I do mean if, there were any heavy metals or anything else there, anything else other than iodine in the 99.9% pure crystalline organic sulfur, it would be sulfated out of our bodies along with the other toxins already in your body, by the way. Bergstrom Nutrition, Inc. claims only a 99.9% purity. Also, as far as I can understand, 99.9% pure is 99.9% pure, regardless of how you get that way. ABRN sells 99.9% pure crystalline organic sulfur. Okay. So he's basically saying it doesn't matter where you get it from as long as it's as pure as it can be. And that kind of makes sense. I personally look at Bergstrom Nutrition, Inc.'s claims as being superior in the light, in the same light I view Monsanto Corporation claims that GMO foods are superior. At best, a questionable claim. As I stated prior, I take this product myself every day, and I don't need to make up stories about how it's made or demonize other products. It just works for me. Okay. So he's saying it's possible to find other products out there that are just as pure and whatever. Okay. And that the crystallization appears to be important. All right. And that's basically what the gentleman out in California that I talked to was saying. So, if we can find something that has no additives, is crystalline instead of crushed, and hasn't been overheated, then we're golden. You know, that'd be the product to get. So, meanwhile, I don't mind throwing $48 at American Voice Radio to support them, because, you know, they're doing their best to help people out and spread truth and knowledge, whatever. And then the gentleman who helped me out, I'll probably buy a second one from him when it's time to do that. So, meanwhile, we'll look for other sources, see what we can find. Any other feedback?
I am a pit bull!
I have no idea what you just said.
organic sulfur. Is that spelled with a U-R or an E-R?
Sulfur. S-U-L-F-U-R.
My supplier don't have it.
Look up MFM.
Already did.
Look up methyl sulfonyl methane.
Hey, look, we can get catnip essential oil.
Woohoo! Yeah, that's not MFM.
Methyl, how you spell?
Just a second. I can text it to you.
Wow. Catnip oil is like $1,000 a pound.
Jeez.
And that's my price.
Hey, don't give away your cheap trade secrets.
Okay, it's $1,500 a pound.
Okay. M-E-T-H-Y-L.
Hang on. M-E-T-H what? Y-L?
Y-L.
Okay.
S-U-L-F-O-N-Y-L.
Is that a second word or is that one word?
It depends on who spells it. Often they'll hyphenate it, but in this case it is one solid word.
Okay, S what?
S-U-L-F-O-N-Y-L.
Nope.
And then methane, M-E-T-H-A-N-E. All right? Change the F to a PH.
Ah, crap. Gotta retype it. Hang on.
Okay. Ready?
The second word?
S-U-L-P-H-O-N-Y-L.
Nope.
And they didn't come with MSM either?
Nope.
Wow. Pretty standard health product.
Well, this supplier, I have to look at the other supplier. This supplier is very picky and particular about what they carry. What they do carry has to be vegan approved. They will not carry anything that is not vegan friendly.
Well, I think MSM would be vegan friendly. It usually is made from trees.
Right, what I'm trying to say is they don't carry everything. That's why I have two suppliers. Let me look at my other one. I can't remember their name.
Gotta look them up.
Yeah, pretty much. It just popped up on another search I was searching. Here they are. Okay, well, how do you spell it again? M-E-T-H.
Okay, M-E-T-H-Y-L S-U-L P-H-O-N-Y-L.
Okay.
M-E-T-H A-N-E. If I got it wrong, it's because I'm not looking. Give me a second. I'm trying to put this one thing away so that I can... What's going on here? Oh, I'm in the wrong thing. There we go.
They don't have it either. They don't even have it under sulfur. Oh, MSM.
Try MSM.
Yay!
There you go.
It's already in pill form.
What kind of pills?
Capsules. So, gel caps.
Okay.
One is in what they call a V-cap.
Yeah, because one of the instructions here, I'll blow up a picture of the container. Oops, that didn't work.
Well, okay. There's actually only one MSM product. The other ones are blends. Glucosamine with MSM, regular MSM, and then glucosamine and chondroitin with MSM.
Right. Well, okay, here's what they say for taking it. They say mix with pure, distilled or reverse osmosis, water. And it says chlorine blocks sulfur uptake in the body. So, you know, if you're drinking chlorinated water while you're taking your MSM, you just blew it.
Right. Okay. So we suggest staying away from reverse osmosis, though, because reverse osmosis is so purified that it will suck minerals out of your body. So you have to take extra mineral supplement if you're drinking reverse osmosis.
Yeah, I've heard arguments on that. one of the arguments is the minerals that it sucks out of your body are the inorganic minerals that you're not using anyway. That the ones that you want to be removed. So I don't know what to say about that.
I don't know. Yeah, you have to do some extra homework on that one.
But
that's something that bothered me, is the fact that it's sucking minerals out of my body when my body needs minerals.
Yeah. I'll say this, that when I drink just straight well water, by the end of the day, I've sweated out enough minerals, it knocks me out. But if I add a teaspoon of sea salt, preferably something pink or gray, because, you know, the white sea salt has had stuff leached out of it. If I, you know, basically the dirty color sea salt dissolved in my water, a teaspoon of sea salt per gallon, that seems to be enough that it knocks out my salt cravings and I still feel good and strong at the end of the day. So I don't know. You know, it's just my personal experience. But it might help with absorbing the MSM if you dissolve it in pure water, because if there's nothing else in the water already, it'll dissolve the MSM better.
Right.
Anyway. Yeah, Dr. Christopher only drinks distilled water. And distilled water will have no minerals in it either. It'll do the same thing as reverse osmosis. Matter of fact, it'll do so more effectively. So that is something to take into consideration.
Consideration.
Yep.
What's that?
That's pretty neat. So Frank Stephan had a rather frank statement about his MSM.
Bow, bow, bow.
So his organic sulfur is a manufactured it's an artificial organic. Oh. So that's something else I found out is interesting. The way they discovered the benefits of DMSO on people is these men working at this paper mill. They typically complain at the end of the day of all their aches and pains. All right? But one of them got a hold of the DMSO and started rubbing it into his sore muscles. All right? And the doctor who worked there at the plant, he was like, what's going on here? These guys used to complain about it all the time. Now they're not complaining at all. What's going on? And he checked it out, and what he found out is they're rubbing one of the products that they were producing for horses right into their muscles. And so he discovered DMSO for human use via the workers discovering it first.
Right.
So leave it to the working man to experiment with stuff. Hi. What's that? I don't know. What you do with it? Rubbing it in my muscles? Well, what does that do? Makes me feel better. How does that work? I don't know.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, he was telling me a lot of the MSM now is highly adulterated. That you can get it at a feed store for your horses and stuff like that, but you gotta check it out and see how it was manufactured. So
what?
So what? Yeah. So what you got for us? Anything?
I am a pit bull.
You're a pit bull. Okay. Finally, I understood you. I suppose being a pit bull is better than being a bull pit. Oh, yeah, he was supposed to give that guy's web address. There we go. His address is organicsulfurforhealth.com. And that's organicsulfur for the number 4. HEALTH.com.
.com.
Yeah, and he's out there in California. Just north of San Francisco.
Yeah.
And he's actually got some interesting information on his website.
I was a seaman when I lived in the Gay Bay.
Yeah, I'm sure you were.
I never lived there. You did.
Yeah. Now, he offers... Now, it looks like his smallest order is a 2-pack. So they sell you 2 1-pound plastic jars of organic sulfur. And he wants $76 plus shipping and tax for that.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know what the tax is. But I'll contact him, and I'm not sure what the shipping and handling is, but he sends it via UPS. Usually 2-day priority mail. Oh, USPS. So it's sent through the post office. Right. And there's a discount for ordering more than 1 2-pack.
Okay.
But at $76, he's charging $38 who's like $2 lower than AVRN and then whatever shipping is.
Whatever shipping is.
Yep.
All right, $25. Make me hotter.
Somehow I knew you were going to say that.
Because I get paid to do the wild thing.
Yeah.
I'm doing green tea research.
Be sure to tell your date that.
Okay.
Yeah, you're a nut.
Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Okay. MGTOW!
Yeah, what's up with all those fruits and nuts?
Which ones?
MGTOW.
MGTOW! GMO! GMO! GMO's the way to go. MGTOW.
So why are, what's this group of He-Man woman haters, up to?
Yeah, I don't know what they're up to, really. Originally, it started out as a positive motivational movement, as a, like an outreach program for the nice guys being abused by bitchy women.
Right.
But, or, feminists or whatever you want to call them. But, or as I would probably call them, bitchaholics. you got assaholics and then you got bitchaholics. Like one woman once told me, says, women have a tendency to be bitches about as much as men have a tendency to be assholes.
Pretty high percentage.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, if you look at the charts and the statistics, it's pretty 50-50 across the board. And if you compare astrology to those statistics, it's pretty much 50-50 across the board. We all have the same astrology, whether we're male or female. So a male and a female with the same astrology would do similar things. They would do everything the same because, culture, environment, upbringing, and then, of course, their whole gender background, because women are raised different than men are. But and women are always treated different growing up than men are. And, of course, that always changes through time because 100 years ago, that was different. And in another country, that may be different. But the instincts of the person remains the same. What their deep down core values and whatnot are, what they think about, what they want to do, whether they act on it or not is different. But who they are as a person, still the same. But anyways, the MGTOW movement started out as a positive movement, but now it's become more like the reverse fashion of feminism.
So instead of being bitches, they're being assholes.
Basically. It's like the extreme feminist is very anti-man and might as well be a lesbian. And the extreme anti-feminist, or MGTOW, is basically anti-woman and might as well be gay.
Yeah. I do kind of like their emblem that they use. It's it's a street sign showing a road splitting off to the side. And it's
right.
Like that's their symbol. It's like men going their own way. So,
right.
You know, so here's the main path, and here's a group of men just going their own way because the straight path is whatever.
Well, they're basically going against the norm. You know, it's like the mainstream's not working, so we're going to try something different. We're going to do our own thing. We're not going to be sheeple. You know, we're not going to follow the herd. We're going to be unique and different and do our own thing. That's basically, you know, what it was originally designed to be.
Right. And I joke that, you know, they're repressed, self-hating, self-loathing homos, but what was the other word I used? Homophobic.
Homophobic homos.
Homophobic homos. And I don't know that to be the case, but
I'm a homophobic homo.
Yeah, stay away from me.
I'm a homophobic homo sapien.
Okay. If
anyway,
you say so.
I'm not really homophobic.
Yeah, I am.
Well, you're more homophobic than I am, let's put it that way. I'm a little homophobic, but if a guy's hitting on me, then I'm homophobic. But as long as he keeps his, you know, aura from my aura, we're good. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not as homophobic as my nephew. I got a nephew who was getting fitted for his graduation, and the tailor happened to be gay, and you know they make that inseam measurement, right? And just as he was making the measurement, he made some comment that put my nephew up on the ceiling like a cat being chased by a dog. It's like, ah!
He made a comment or he did something?
As I understand it, he said something as he made the measurement. All right? Because, you know, when you're measuring that inseam, it's a little personal.
Right.
Okay.
He probably said something like, wow, you must be from Congo.
Well, I don't know what was exactly said, but my mom happened to be there when it happened, and Kevin just leaped into the air. Like, keep your hand away from my stuff. Made it kind of difficult for him to get properly measured.
Right.
Oh, my. Some of these people are downright insane with their... I'm looking at water distillers. So this one guy, he took a pressure cooker, and he doesn't know what the weight and everything on the pressure cooker is for, right? He's talking about possibly blocking them up, all right? I'm like, oh, my God, all right? So he doesn't know what the other hole is either. There's like a pressure relief valve, too, that you can press on it and release the pressure, okay? And then there's the weight that's in the middle of the pot. And the access point that he made to the pressure cooker in order to hook up his copper piping, there's this little rubber plug that if the pressure gets really bad, it blows that plug out. So it's kind of like the last ditch thing before your pressure cooker blows up. Okay? So he's talking about plugging up the other two holes, and he's already taken out
the safety valve thing, you know, and put his pipes on that, which is probably okay, but, I mean, he was talking about plugging everything else up. Like, oh, my God. Because pressure cookers do blow up.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to bother with this one. Anyway, his design was kind of intriguing because I've seen the, well, you saw it, on the History Channel, whatever, about the moonshine runners, the modern-day moonshine runners.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things they did is they ran their copper coil through a barrel and had the distilled alcohol come out of the tube down at the bottom of the barrel. Well, we do water the same way.
Right.
So, anyway.
Anyway, yeah, when I first discovered MGTOW, I actually thought it was a dude's name or something, because his YouTube account was Angry MGTOW. And I'm like, okay. So I thought that was like abbreviation or something. I thought that was part of his name. I didn't know it was actually a group. But I was watching his videos. Well, I watched one of his videos about this one chick. And it just so happened I was already a subscriber to that chick. And so I went and found the video of hers that he was basically talking about.
Oh, I remember you playing that one to me.
No, it was a different one.
Was it? Okay.
This was a long time ago. But anyways, well, not a long time ago, because I just discovered it a few months ago. But anyways, I basically did research on the woman that he was talking about, because, you know, I didn't want just a one-sided opinion. And it just so happened I was subscribing to her for whatever reason. I don't even know why now. I subscribed to like 1,000 different people. Probably because she was funny, because when I researched and found the video that he was basically talking about, I found her video humorous and innocent, you know. And I really didn't like the way he twisted what she had to say. Now, maybe some of the things that he said was accurate, but he was blowing a lot of it out of proportion, because he was basically being anti-woman. He was being a woman hater. Well, being a woman hater is not going to get you women.
No.
But being a nice guy isn't necessarily going to get you a woman either. You got to find that balance of in between. That somewhere in the middle. You got to meet in the middle, neat the old Georgia pine. But yeah, I mean, you know, you can't be too nice because they'll disrespect you. They'll walk all over you. But you can't be too mean, because then you're basically disrespecting them and walking all over them.
Yeah.
You got to find a common ground. What is the name for the green tea seed extract oil?
You must be asking Google, because I haven't a clue.
No, I was asking you, but I can't remember the name of it, and I don't have the product with me.
Oh.
Yeah, there was the, you had two extracts. You had one that was the carrier oil, and the other one was an essential oil. But I don't remember.
It might be in my email, because I ordered it. It'll be in my receipt.
One of the essential oil smelled fruity.
Flowery.
Flowery, yeah.
I am a pit bull!
Yeah, I wonder if you could make ice cream with that and what it would taste like.
I don't think I would want to.
It'd be expensive ice cream.
Yeah, it was very expensive.
But, yeah.
Ah, found it. Camellia.
Camellia.
Right?
I don't know.
I'd have never guessed that one. There it is. All right. Camellia oil is the oil from the seed of the green tea. Camellia is the scientific name for green tea.
There you go.
Green tea is Camellia sinensis. Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
And the seed is Camellia oleifera. Oleifera. All right. So, okay. So my calculation is this. Can't speak out loud. Basically, Jamie, I visited with Jamie today, and she wants to buy, I gave her a sample for a Valentine present, if you will, of the green tea blend that I made. And she's like, oh, you know just what I like. So she's like, yeah, so she's like, how much? And so I was like, well, I don't know. I haven't calculated it yet. This is just my experimental blend, you know. So it looks like it's going for about $30 an ounce.
It's probably worth it. It's some pretty nice stuff. I don't know what it does for you health-wise, though. But, I mean, it's... It really smells nice.
Let's see.
Right, I get a girlfriend, I might give it to her as a perfume.
It's a weight loss oil.
Okay.
And it's an antioxidant.
Right, so I can use it on both counts. Now, is that the essential oil or the carrier oil?
That's the essential part. There were some other things that I read on it before, but this is what I'm getting right now. Yeah. So, if I do the blend, then it's $30 an ounce. If I sell the oil by itself, without the blend, it's $120 an ounce. So the green tea essential oil is $120 an ounce, But if I cut it with the green tea seed oil and make it more like a perfume oil for wearing, whatever, then I can reduce the price down to $30 an ounce. Because the carrier oil is less expensive.
Rightio.
Yeah! Because, yeah. Well, it's not really that much less expensive, but it's less expensive. It's, well, yeah, it's like 20%. Yeah, the price of the carrier oil is 20% of the price of the essential oil, give or take.
Yipper yipper.
No, more like 25%. Wait. Something like that, 25-30%. I'm doing it in my head, so. Yeah.
Your head is wonky. I don't know.
What? So, yeah. Jimmy, Jimmy, boobay me, banana, banana, boobay me, me, my, me, me. So, that's a ballpark. I got to actually sit down and do the calculation. I just did a ballpark calculation. All right, so that's pretty close. It's about $30 an ounce. It might be like $27 an ounce or $32 an ounce. But it's pretty close, about $30 an ounce.
ChicksLoveTheCar.com.
ChicksLoveTheCar.
Yeah, this guy put instructions for making a solar box distiller. Basically, it's a sheet of window glass over the top of a box that's been waterproofed. The inside's painted all black. You let the water flow in. It gets evaporated, condenses on the glass, drips down into a little trough, and into a container off to the side.
So he turned a car into a distiller?
No, I just turned this tabletop thing with a piece of window glass, you know, like from your house.
What's that got to do with the car?
I know it has to do with the car, but, you know, that's the site that he put the thing on, and actually it's the site where it's no longer on because that directory no longer exists, and I'm seeing if I can find it.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't really need the blueprints because I've already seen designs for these things already. So I could probably suss it out just by watching the video.
I want to get a kit car Lamborghini.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll cost less. The insurance will be cheaper. And it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, I want a one-man, three-wheeled Credenza. Or whatever the heck the Dr. Seuss rode. Whatever the Cat in the Hat rode.
You would. Where are you from again? Oh, yeah. Decatur Bay. Just kidding. Anyways.
Cunicoons.
I come from my mother.
Do you have first-hand knowledge of that?
No, but experience tells me that's where everybody comes from, is their mother.
Cunicoons. Brittany, Jamie's daughter, wants a Cunicoon.
Woohoo!
So once we start breeding Cunicoons, she wants a piglet.
Do they make good house pets?
They're probably the queenest pig out of all the pigs.
All right, now this is getting a little personal, but does Jamie still live with her mom?
Grandma, yes.
So they're still in that apartment?
Yeah, but Brittany...
The landlord's not going to put up with it.
Brittany more than likely won't be living there once she gets old enough to be out on her own.
How old is Brittany now?
That's a good question. Let me look up her astrology. Oh, I could look up her Facebook,
too. Whoa, you might like this website. That's a pretty impressive-looking car here on the front. It looks like something Batman would drive.
Cool. Brittany,
oh, it is.
She's pushing 18. She's like 16 or 17. Okay, no, she'll be 16 this year. So she's got two more years to go before she'll be on her own, more than likely. And from what I can tell of her, she will probably be on her own. She's very smart and independent. She's got a lot of Virgo in her astrology.
Does she like growing plants?
Don't know. That's more of a Jamie thing. Oh, yeah. Brittany is mostly Virgo, Scorpio, and Libra. But mostly Virgo and Scorpio. So, yeah, she's very smart, very strong, and very independent.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Her Mercury is Libra in the second house, which is the house of Taurus. And then her Venus is Scorpio in the second house. So, Yeah, Mercury. I think she's going to be all right. I think Mercury in the second house is a successful position, somebody who's going to be successful in business and or whatever. The problem is she's got Mercury in Libra. And Mercury in Libra can be a little unstable. Not as bad as Gemini, but it can be a little unstable because Mercury in Libra, it's like, it was explained to me one time, it's like they'll have a schedule and something, you know, important is on that schedule, but then something else more important comes along that might be fun or whatever, and they just get amnesia and they forget their schedule and just go do that other thing.
Oh.
And kind of forget their responsibilities or whatnot. That's what Mercury and Libra will tend to do. But our good friend Bond, James Bond, has Mercury in Libra, and he's very on top of things.
Except for friendship.
Well, depends. He's also very territorial.
Yeah.
And he's also an alpha.
And so anything that challenges his alpha status, even especially from a non-alpha.
Right.
Yeah, I might be a problem for him because I just don't respect alpha.
You must respect my authority.
Yeah, I might not be an alpha, but I just don't respect alpha, which kind of makes me more alpha than alpha.
Too bad
the girls don't see it that way, but yeah, I wish the girls saw it that way, but the guys are definitely thrown off by that.
I am a pit bull. Oh, yeah, it does look like a Batman car.
It is. This is a 1989 Batman car. That's what that website was all about.
Batman! Oh! I found the future wedding ring for your future wife.
Cool. Ruby, sapphire, or emeralds?
It could be anything you want, but it's a Batman ring.
A Batman ring. Do they make a Batman ring delicate enough for a girl's finger?
Yes, in fact, I found out about it from a girl's Facebook post, and she was like, I want this! She was actually telling her girlfriend that she wanted that.
Well, tell her you know Batman.
Right.
And ask her what color gemstone she wants in it.
Right.
And if she says diamond, I'll say Batman don't do glass.
I am a pet bull. I like that car. Yeah. Brrring. I was going to do something astrological for somebody, but I can't remember what it was or who it was.
You're going to do something asinine for somebody?
Yeah. I was going to do something astrological for someone, but I can't remember what it was and who it was for. No, well, it'll come to me later.
Sounds like a pretty monumental problem.
Monumental problem. What does monumental mean?
Big. Huge.
Ah, that's what I thought it was.
Like a monument.
Monuments can be pretty small, though.
Oh, that's impressive.
Not.
This website for its icon has a little cartoon girl in a bikini walking around posing for the chicksloveTheCar.com thing. All right. Yeah. I'm on the miscellaneous page, seeing if I can find that thing about... Yeah, I think it was completely removed.
Completely removed.
Yeah. They've got the 1989 Batmobile, the Forever Batmobile, the Batman and Robin Batmobile, the Tumbler with the Batpod, an animated Batmobile with Gadget, Shield, real-life replica.
No, I'm sorry, I was wrong. The green tea essential oil is like $300 an ounce.
Yeah. How many ounces is she going to buy?
That's uncut.
That's what the carrier oil's for, right?
Oh, wait a minute. No, sorry.
You better get your price straight before you sell it.
Yeah.
All right. Ew.
No, I was right the first time. 118. yeah, my calculator thingy. I got this chart that auto calculates things, and I had the one thing in the wrong position or the wrong number in the wrong place. But anyways, yeah, even if I ever charged her, I would give her a discount, or I'd give her a rebate or whatever you want to call it. Because I like return customers.
Let's see now. What else they got here for water distillers?
I've never actually had an unsatisfied customer that I can think of. I had one guy accuse me of trying to scam him with my product when I sold him a $500 product for $200.
Yeah.
And what he was trying to do was he was trying to get my supplier information. And you know, because he probably was trying to buy the same oil around the corner from where he lived or whatever, and they wanted $500 for it. It's $300 to $500, so I could have charged a minimum of $300, but I only charged them $200. So anyways, but he's the reason why I raised my rates, because having to do all the legal crap for dealing with his bullcrap,
yeah,
basically cost me all my profit and then some. So I raised my rate so that it would basically cover my costs if I had that problem again. That's why doctors are so expensive, because everybody's too happy, and doctors really don't do their job right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can thank socialized medicine for that.
And Uncle Sam.
Well, yeah, ultimately Uncle Sam is the cause of it all the way around, because... I forget what the year was and what was going on, but basically Uncle Sam stepped in and said, okay, for this job, you can only pay this amount, and for that job, you can only pay that amount. And all these private business owners were forced to abide by those rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines, all right? So if you hired a clerk, you really couldn't pay that clerk more than your competitor did because Uncle Sam said no, all right? And so the only thing you could do is say, well, I'll pay you a pension. You know, when you're done working for me, I'll pay a pension if you worked for me for so long, all right? And somebody else said, hey, I'll pay your medical bills, all right? And that was the start of health insurance. And somebody else said, I'll pay your medical bills and your dental, all right? And so that's where health care came in, all right? Before that, doctors were making doctor visits. But it wasn't too long after they started doing that that health insurance started, and all the doctors were brought in-house and only worked in hospitals and were only paid by health insurance.
That doesn't sound accurate.
Well, ultimately, Uncle Sam took over on it.
Well, yeah.
But it was because Uncle Sam was saying how much you could pay your workers. You know? Because that all got started. So, you know, they created a problem. And then people figured out a way to get around the problem. And so, but it created a new problem. So now everybody thinks it's their right to have health insurance. Well, it's your right to take care of your health needs, yes, but it's not your right to have, quote-unquote, health insurance or even retirement fund or dental or any of that.
Are you sure the Rockefellers didn't come up with that whole thing, create a problem and then advocate a solution for the problem?
Well, yeah, they may have been the ones who came up with the idea of, hey, go ahead and do this, you know. But, you know, basically it boiled down to Uncle Sam interfering. They may have done it on the behalf of the Rockefellers.
Because from what I understand, the whole feminist women's lib movement was to get more people in the workforce so they can lower our wages and increase our taxes.
Yeah, that too. Twice as many people working half as much money each.
Exactly. And
who has time to look after the kids? Oh, well, that's not a problem. Put them in public school.
Right. Yeah, now Uncle Sam has control over our children.
We'll babysit them for you. And you effectively won't be the parents anymore.
Pretty much. We'll hire a parent to be the parents. We'll
some dumbass teacher will say, these are my kids this year.
Pretty much.
Like, you know, yeah.
And if you do something as little as spank your children, you could lose them, like Regina did.
Yeah. Now, see, I've got a radical solution to that problem. All right? I really do not believe that either parent should work outside the home.
Well, yeah, I mean, if at all possible, you know, we would all work from the house, but that's not always possible.
True enough, it's not always possible.
But it would be ideal.
Yep. And one of my favorite one of my favorite wise men nowadays, he basically suggests you shouldn't work for anybody for more than 2 or 3 years. While you're working for them, learn everything. Learn everything you can about the business. All right? Now, if you don't want to be in that business, that's fine. But still, learn everything you can about that business. And then move on to the next job. Until you find something you want to do for the rest of your life, and you go home and do that for yourself.
Right.
You know, so learn everything you can.
Learn everything.
Which will make you the number one most desirable employee. And 2 or 3 years down the road, he'll be like, "What? Why are you leaving?" "Oh, because I'm going to become your major competitor." "What?"
"Why would you do something like that?"
"Why should I make you rich when I know how to do it?"
Right?
And that's basically his point. You know, it's you know, modern corporations have no loyalty to their employees. You know, they'll promise you they'll promise you retirement fund and whatever if you work for them for so long, and then they'll fire you just before you get there.
Right. Bastards!
Well, you know, the trick is, shouldn't be depending on their retirement fund anyway. What if the company goes belly up and you're like only 2 years into your retirement? They can't pay your retirement if they don't exist anymore.
Right.
What if the investment company that you were depending on, you know, you put your money into an IRA and there's, you know, investment companies involved in that. What if the company handling your IRA doesn't handle your funds properly? What if you don't handle them properly? You know,
right.
You make a bad guess. Then you're stuck on Social Security. And that's already been, you know, stripped out. So, you know, it's, my mom would be lucky if it'll outlast her. And she's, you know, probably doesn't have too many years left on this planet now. And if you read your scriptures, basically your retirement plan is supposed to be your kids. Your family. You're supposed to keep your family together and close to you.
Right.
You're supposed to take care of each other. You know, it's the children's responsibility to take care of their parents when they get old. You're supposed to fatten your parents. So, I mean, you know, allowing Social Security to do the fattening of your parents is not what Scripture called for. Because there's a lot of benefits to keeping your family close by. You know, there's a lot of knowledge that your parents can pass on to your children that, you know, quite frankly, you don't have time to do because you're busy working.
Yeah.
But who cares? Ship your parents off to the old folks' home. Your children don't need to see them. Now, granted, because you shipped your parents off to the old folks' home, your kids are going to see that, and they're going to go, well, okay, that's the thing to do. When mom and dad get old, we'll put them out to pasture and ignore them.
That's what I would do.
Well, I take care of my mom, but she married a guy who thought I was a lazy bastard, or at least said he thought I was a lazy bastard, and they kicked me off the farm. Granted, there's more to that story than that. I was supposed to leave the farm. I was dragging my feet because I didn't like the way my mom was being treated.
What's the matter with you?
Well, you know, you can ask, darn, I can't remember his name. Jonah. You can ask Jonah what was the matter with him. He was told to move on and go do certain things, and he didn't want to. So he ended up getting swallowed by a whale.
Right. All right. I believe I got the official price.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, it was actually higher than what I was calculating. Because I forgot to calculate my shipping.
$5,000 an ounce.
No. Yeah, I forgot to calculate my shipping. So, it's basically $45 an ounce.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's if I don't charge tax. I mean, that's if I don't steal.
If you don't charge the theft?
I don't charge theft, no.
Well.
I pay the theft, but I don't charge the theft.
Yeah.
I am a pick, bull.
All right, what's that all about? Why are you a pit bull now?
Why not? All right, if I was a dog, what dog do you think I would be?
A Pomeranian. Oh, wait, I can think of one more annoying. A Pomeranian cross with a Chihuahua.
A Pawawa?
Oh, yeah, Chihuahua.
Pomeranian.
A Pomeranian. Oh, my God.
No, I basically grew up with pit bulls.
My favorite dog was 1/4 pit bull. His dad was freaky looking. his dad was half pit bull and half Dalmatian, and had all the body shape all the body shape of a pit bull, you know, the muscles and face shape and all that, white with black spots. He was scary and funny looking at the same time.
It was a fairy.
Yeah.
It was funny, scary.
Funny and scary at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, Mama was half beagle and half, I think it was terrier. And she just looked like a regular dog.
Okay.
But my favorite dog was an offspring of those two mixes. And so she looked like a regular dog, but she was able to clear our back fence, which is over 6 feet tall, without touching it. She could stand right next to it and just leap straight up and land on the other side. She had all the muscle strength. Go ahead.
I had a mutt that would climb fences, but she never jumped over them.
Yeah, she had all the strength of a pit bull and all the jumpiness of a terrier.
Nice.
And didn't show any sign of Dalmatian except in her temperament. And the same thing with the beagle. I guess the beagle kind of gave her temperament as well. So she's a real friendly dog. She's going to play with the school kids during the day. And more than once, I'd have to go and retrieve her because, you know, the school didn't really like dogs being, you know, with their kids.
Yeah, I don't remember what our mutt did, but apparently she watched a cat climb the fence, and so she figured out how to climb the fence. She was a very smart dog. She'd just go run the neighborhood.
Oh, my.
But this is back before the dog pound actually really was a big ordeal. This is back when we used to take BB guns to school, and it was not that big of a deal.
Shoot. They used to take shotguns and rifles to school when I was...
Yeah, but you're ancient.
They went to the gun club after school.
Oh yeah, that's different. ROTC and stuff like that.
Yeah, they had rifle practice right there on the school ground after school.
Oh yeah, they had that when I was growing up too.
Every once in a while, a kid would go to his locker and call the principal over. And say, look at this. My daddy just bought me that. And the principal would look it over and go, that's cool. What kind of ammunition does it take? And they'd discuss it for a couple of minutes, you know, and you know, the bell would ring and the kid wouldn't get in trouble for being late to class because he was talking to the principal. And he'd put it away back in the locker and nobody'd say anything about it.
Right. Now you can't even mention the word gun.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. What's that? The ringtone I had on my other phone, it went into this discussion about some high school student doing a writing assignment, and he ended up getting arrested for doing the dastardly thing of bringing the concept of the gun to school.
Yeah, I did an essay on, he was a 16-year-old kid, I think, and, He wrote about killing the neighbor's dinosaur with his machine gun.
Okay.
And they threw him in jail for that.
Yeah, they did arrest him. I knew that.
Yeah. I'm sure he didn't go to prison, but he went to jail over it. It made national headlines.
Yeah, so, he was disturbing the peace.
Yeah, that's what they accused him of, disturbing the peace.
My oldest son, he's got an arrest record already because he'd be late for class every once in a while. And they'd arrest him for that. They'd arrest him for truancy. He's on the school grounds already. And he's like 2 minutes late for class. So instead of having to have a hall pass or whatever and, you know, check with the hall monitor, you get tackled and arrested and handcuffed. And then hell for the next 2 hours, and it actually generates a criminal record against you. It's like, are you nuts?
Yeah. We are in a police state. Which brings me to that sticker that I see everybody putting on their cars now, that black and blue sticker.
What's that?
Let me Google it. Black and blue police support I'll just put a sticker. I forgot what it's actually called and what it, they're taking the whole support your troops thing to the next level. They've been doing this for about a year now anyway. But they're taking it to the next level and doing it with the police force. The support ribbons. And it's, I support law enforcement. And then I saw one the other day on a big truck that said honoring the fallen or something like that. You know, so they're trying to get people to love the police state.
Okay.
I support the police state. That's basically what that sticker is. It's saying that I support the police state. But they're not telling you that. They're telling, you know, they're making you feel sorry for these police officers that get killed in the line of duty when they're not even doing their line of duty.
Right.
And people are putting these stickers on their cars thinking they're going to get some compassion from the police state.
No, they're only encouraging them to do it again.
Exactly.
It's like, okay, what I'm doing is okay. I'll go shoot some more people.
Yeah. Kind of like that guy from our town. Well, or our county, I should say, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, well, it's not our township. It'd be our county.
Yeah. He was chasing down somebody because they didn't have a headlight.
They didn't have their headlights on. They didn't have their lights on.
Right.
Their lights,
so,
man, yeah.
He proceeded to pull him over, and they proceeded to evade him. And so they were in a high-speed chase through town, all because the guy didn't have his lights on. And then the cop ended up getting shot and killed because they had a shootout. And basically, and the cop got shot and killed because he was unlawfully chasing somebody down because they didn't have their headlights on.
Right. Now, admittedly, it's a hazard to be driving around without your lights on, so you are committing a harm. But then to turn around and chase that person all over the county
is a greater harm.
Yeah, that's just making the harm even greater. You know, They got enough technology. I'm sure they could have gotten the license plate and such. All right?
Well, yeah. They got RFID chips embedded in the license plate. He didn't even have to get close enough to see the license plate.
Yeah, so I, you know. All right, we're about 16 minutes from the two-hour mark. You want to do the Ron Paul thing? We didn't do it last week.
Ron Paul Revolution!
It's silent again. We won't make good radio hosts if we have silent spots like this, you know?
February 20th. Just over a week into the Trump administration, the president issued an executive order giving Defense Secretary James Mattis 30 days to come up with a plan to defeat ISIS. According to the order, the plan should make recommendations on military actions, diplomatic actions, partners, strategies, and how to pay for the operation. As we approach the president's deadline, it looks like the military is going to present Trump with a plan to do a whole lot more of what we've been doing and somehow expect different results. Moving the old saying that when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, we are hearing increasing reports that the military will recommend sending thousands of U.S. troops into Syria and Iraq. This would be a significant escalation in both countries, as currently there are about 5,000 U.S. troops still fighting our 13-year war in Iraq and some 500 Special Forces soldiers operating in Syria. The current Syria ceasefire, brokered without U.S. involvement at the end of 2016, is producing positive results, and the opposing groups are talking with each other under Russian and Iranian sponsorship. Does anyone think sending thousands of U.S. troops into a situation that is already being resolved without us is a good idea? In language reminiscent of his plans to build a wall on the Mexican border, the president told a political rally in Florida over the weekend that he was going to set up safe zones in Syria and would make the Gulf states pay for them. There are several problems with this plan. First, any safe zone set up inside Syria, especially if protected by U.S. troops, would amount to a massive U.S. invasion of the country unless the Assad government approves them. Does President Trump want to begin his presidency with an illegal invasion of a sovereign country? Second, there is little problem of the Russians, who are partners with the Assad government in its effort to rid the country of ISIS and Al-Qaeda. ISIS is already losing territory on a daily basis. Is President Trump willing to risk a military escalation with Russia to protect armed regime change forces in Syria? Third, the Gulf states are the major backers of Al-Qaeda and ISIS in Syria. As the president's own recently resigned National Security Advisor, Michael Flynn, revealed in a 2015 interview, unless these safe zones are being set up to keep Al-Qaeda and ISIS safe, it doesn't make any sense to involve the Gulf states. Many will say we should not be surprised at these latest moves. As a candidate, Trump vowed to defeat ISIS once and for all. However, does anyone really believe that continuing the same strategy we have followed for the past 16 years will produce different results this time? If what you are hammering is not a nail, will hammering it harder get it nailed in? Washington cannot handle the truth. Solving the ISIS problem must involve a whole lot less U.S. activity in the Middle East, not a whole lot more. Until that is understood, we will continue to waste trillions of dollars and untold lives in a losing endeavor. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number. 888-322-1414 every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website at www.ronpaulinstitute.org and on my Facebook page. Thanks for calling.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1.
And
to repeat the announcement, press 1.
Bomb, bomb, bomb!
Yeah, Ron Paul obviously hasn't read Lysander Spooner.
A what?
Lysander Spooner. The whole reason why they're messing around over there is to keep the war going. How dare the Russians and reduce war?
Right.
The banks are going to get upset over that. If the U.S. don't go in, the banks are going to call in the loans. That's what it boils down to. There's just no choice.
Right.
Yeah. Woohoo. Homemade water distiller. The deluxe do-it-yourself pure water distiller. Full instructions.
What instructions?
Full instructions.
A full.
It produces a half gallon every 2.5 hours. Yeah. I actually need something that will boil off about 10 gallons of water in as short a period as possible without cooking my syrup.
Syrup.
Needs to be high heat and low heat at the same time. Yeah, you need to turn the volume down. That's binging, bonging my head. Hello.
How's that?
That's better.
I'm not sure that was the one I was looking for. I think this one is it.
You can turn up just a little bit. But at first it was binging, bonging my head, and I couldn't hear anything it was saying.
It's Christmas, it's ground zero, it's blah, 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 blah.
All I know is it sounded vaguely Christmassy, but it was going, bang, 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 bang. It's like, what? Can't
what?
Hear the tune.
Can you say what?
Yeah.
This one's taking forever to load. I probably used up all my internet.
No.
No.
Let's see if I can activate the one on my phone. While I'm on the phone. Yay.
Yeah, it sounded hard to... What was that?
Do what?
Something spoke.
The New World Order is probably listening in.
Sounded vaguely like an Aussie elf.
A lot of people think that I won because I look pretty good compared to guys like Newt. But I don't think that's it at all. So right now, I'd like you to meet the man whose impeccable sense of timing contributed the most to my re-election. Please welcome Mr. So Damn Insane.
Oh, well, look, heard, heard, heard. Heard is the word. Oh, well, look, heard, heard, heard. Heard is the word. Oh, well, look, heard.
Bum, 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 Iraq.
It's all right for him to go overseas and do that, but he comes over here as soon as he gets done overseas and says, I can do some of that over here.
Wait, they already did. Waco.
Yeah. Yep, and every time he does something, he says, oh, we need more laws to stop things from that happening. And so he does some more. Makes more laws.
Yep.
Now you're all stopping in the middle of Texas for border control.
Yep.
And it might not be English speakers that inspect your car.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But don't say nothing because, you know, they might shoot you.
Yep. Oh, yeah. As soon as they're done in the Middle East, they'll come over here and get the rest of us in line. They'll have foreign troops come over here to keep us in line.
Well, yeah. It worked over there.
Yep. I mean, some of our own people will sell out and do it, but not all of them will.
It's like the cop my son met. He only became a cop because he wanted the opportunity to get away with shooting a human being. Whoever hired him should be used as target practice by that cop just before we execute that cop.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like, we're going to kill you, but we're going to give you your wish. That guy over there that hired you in the first place, you get to shoot him before we kill you.
But what if he turns and tries to kill you with the gun that you're allowing him to kill the other guy with?
Yeah, that's where he gets the surprise. He has a gun full of blanks. But, oh, you didn't get your dream.
All right.
Well, wasn't it a thrill to try? Don't worry about it. You're going to see him die anyway because we're going to execute him along with you because you're both guilty.
Guilty!
And your boss is a psychopath. He should have at least known better than to hire one.
Yeah.
All righty. Got anything else in your stack of stuff, or should I look in my stack of stuff?
Oh, I don't know what I've been told. I had a stack of stuff, but I didn't write down my stack of stuff, so I don't have a stack of stuff.
Well, shame on you.
Well, I was driving.
Uh-huh.
MGTOW was one of the things I wanted to talk about. I was talking to a friend today. He didn't know what it was, so I educated him a little bit. I told him, I said, if you want to discuss it, you can call into our podcast tonight, but nobody calls in.
Nobody ever calls in. That's not entirely true. They just don't call in very often.
Like, they haven't called in for quite some time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's like we've only had callers about two or three times. Oh, well.
More than that. In the beginning, we had callers, but they all kind of faded out.
Okay, you might like this one. These cutting-edge solar panels roll up like wrapping paper. Get ready for tough, foldable, paper-like solar panels covered in solar glitter.
Interesting.
And this was written by Alyssa Danagelis. I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry I murdered your name. But thank you for writing the article. Let's see now. Anyway, let's see if I can tell you what website I pulled that off of. Well, it's off of www.seeker.com. That's S-E-E-K-E-R. I'm not sure exactly where the article was from on that website because I made a PDF of it.
No, okay.
Okay. This solar panel doesn't look like one at all. Instead of the classic rigid panel, the flexible solar material created by Albuquerque-based M-Power Technology, Inc., seems like a cross between metallic wrapping paper and one of those reflective sunshades for car windows. The clever mesh design means that the solar panel is lightweight, foldable, and highly effective. Microsystems enabled photovoltaics technology has actually been in development for several years. And then it gives a website. But it took a big step forward recently when Empower Technology signed a licensing agreement with Sandia National Laboratories. Okay, it's called Dragon Scales. Empower Technologies product is actually covered in miniature solar cells known as solar glitter. The scales part stands for the semiconductor active layer embedded solar. S-C-A-L-E-S, scales. Okay. Fastco Exit reported, and gives another website, and I'll read part of the website name because it's part of the article, I guess. You can fold these up, fold these nearly unbreakable solar panels and take them with you. Okay. If one cell stops working, it becomes shaded. The rest of the cells continue working. Huh. So you can see who's malfunctioning. The key limitation to silicon is that if you bend or flex it, it will crack and shatter. Empower Technology, however, and CEO Murat Okanda says in a press statement, our technology makes it virtually unbreakable while keeping all the benefits of high efficiency, high reliability silicon PV. Photovoltaic. Anyway, I'd read the rest of the article, but yeah, that's pretty interesting because you were talking about putting stuff on top of the truck.
Yeah, they already make stuff that you can buy at RV places. It's not thin like paper. It's more thin like cardboard, and it is flexible. And you can put it on top of your vehicles.
Yep. I think when I saved this article, it failed to capture any of the pictures. Oh, there we go. It actually captured a YouTube link.
They've been working on solar technology for your cell phone so that you can charge your cell phone in the sun without having to worry about plugging it in.
Right, which would be great until the sun makes the phone overheat.
Well, you don't set it directly in the sun. You can just be using it. And the solar panels will be built into the screen on the sides of the screen. And then be charging it while you're using it.
Yep. That's all right.
But if they fix the technology to where the sun doesn't overheat it, then it would work even better. I forgot the guy that Marcus Rothkranz was interviewing, but I believe it was the founder of Apple. He basically sold the business and retired and basically disappeared for like, a couple of years. Then he came out of the woodworks. And the first person who got to interview him was Marcus Rothkranz. But anyways, he said in the interview that he can't believe with all the technology that we have today, nobody can create a better cell phone. He said the possibility and the capabilities are out there. They're just not doing it.
Yeah.
And he is the founder of Apple. Now, or iPhone, yeah, Apple. So, apparently he was creating a high-quality product, higher-quality product, when he was the owner. But since it got took over, or, you know, the shareholders started taking over, it started going downhill.
Well, yeah, they had a cash cow, but they didn't know how to operate it.
Well,
like,
yeah,
we're supposed to be able to give milk, but we gotta pull on the teats. oh, that's what's wrong.
Well, that's the problem with big business. You know, they got to keep making more money, more money, and more money, so they keep giving you less product, less product, less product, less product. Then eventually, their product sucks. And somebody else comes along, creates a better product, and then they become the next big business, and big business fails. Or, you know, that business, the old business goes bankrupt, and a new business takes over. But the problem is, those businesses that are supposed to go bankrupt and fail because they're charging you more for less, are no longer failing because the government bails them out.
Yeah.
So essentially, they're still charging us even more because now we got to pay tax dollars for the government bailouts. Plus, we still got to pay more money for the product that is getting worse and worse and worse. So we're actually essentially paying even more for the product. Oh, and like I said in a previous podcast, Venezuela, they said the price of a sandwich is the same price as a smartphone, $100.
Yep.
It's crazy. And that's the way we're going. If we don't start, you know, protecting our liberties and growing our own food. Growing your own food is like printing your own money.
Yes.
But yeah, they got what they have right now is they have stickers that you can put on the back of your cell phone, or maybe not stickers, I'm not sure exactly what they are, but maybe they're built in. Maybe they're already starting to build the technology into the cell phones, but they're on the backside. But they're creating. They've already had like solar powered battery packs that you can charge your phone with. But they're taking it to the next level. And they're going to be actually putting the solar panels in the phone. It looks like they're already putting them in the phones, but they're in the back sides of the phone. But you won't be able to take your battery out because it'll be probably locked in. Look, these...
They got in trouble for doing that kind of crap before.
How's that?
A lot of the phone companies, including the iPhone, made phones that you couldn't get to the battery. And it ended up in a class action lawsuit.
Why?
Because you shouldn't have to replace your phone in order to change the battery. So they had to make the phones in such a way that you could get to the battery and change it.
Okay, I probably still will.
I wouldn't doubt that they wouldn't try it again, but, you know, it's crap that you can't change a battery. Problem is, you know, people don't learn the lesson. People still get contracts for their phone service. They pay for cable television, and they get ads on their cable television. It's like, come on, people. If they're giving you ads, you shouldn't have to pay for it.
True that. Like I said, they're giving you, they're charging you more and giving you less.
Yep. And by the way, if you want to see some really good movies before they come out in the U.S., check out the Chinese and Japanese movies before they remake them here in the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
You'll have to read subtitles, I'm sorry. But the storyline is better, and even though they don't have special effects like they do here in the U.S., it still comes out better. Because they're relying more on storyline than they are on special effects.
What's a storyline?
What's a storyline? I forget the one. They used Buffy the Vampire Slayer to do the remake here in America.
What's a vampire?
All that stuff you're buying those special herbs for to drive off.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
The world is a vampire.
Something like so that.
Power technology. I love it. Alrighty.
Well, apparently I'm still downloading something, and so my internet still sucks.
Here's a funny song.
Well, first of all, it's great to be with you, and thank you. Good evening. Well, first of all, it's great to be with you, and thank you, everybody.
This is it. Your last chance to make an impression. So, let's make it count.
Okay. We know we've got lots of work to do.
Let's do this in B flat minor.
We have already have a baby
over
me. Can we all agree to be a friend of me?
I work with her. How I get the middle east. That's the only way
we're going to be. Okay. Muscle. So sad. So sad.
It's a catastrophe.
So big. So big.
And everyone will see me an American.
I shall be fine. I'll put my arm between.
We are living all where the money is.
We are
going to go
for this again.
Our jobs are being served for our country. Right now, our country is dying.
We need to run the show. We've got to do more.
We need to go. We need to
get to go. We need 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 to go. Don't
say
me, I'm a very dude.
This is the thing, what is wrong with this? The second is such a
guy. Understanding the smack gun ownership. I hope the Senate is more than nominated for president.
Come on, me. You sound a cold war, but shouldn't they be good? Would you go across my whole battle field?
We need to
know
Donald Trump.
I think you got that wrong.
I probably do. Anyways, yeah, that's why they call us Demented Dungeons and Dragons, because we're a little minted.
Yeah, we keep the sunset at the same time, basically.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I guess that is right. We had it right the first time whenever we said that before on a previous podcast, and then I got to thinking about it. I said, no, that's not right. But I guess it was right.
Yeah.
No.
Because as far as my animal's concerned, the sun sets when it sets, and they don't care what the clock says.
What is a clock?
Yeah, what's a clock? Yeah, they look at the sun, and if the sun isn't below the horizon, they don't go home.
That's it.
Oh, by the way, Sidewinder apparently is in heat.
Okay.
I don't think she's going to get pregnant.
Why?
Because every time one of the bucks tries to mount her, she's twisted sideways and it knocks her over.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good birth control.
Yeah. your goat gets scoliosis, she ain't going to get pregnant.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, I had a discussion today about endometriosis. Doctors cannot cure endometriosis.
Okay.
But veterinarians can.
Well, then go see a veterinarian.
Yeah. Talk to a cowman and find out how cowmen cure endometriosis in their cattle.
Right. I got to ask, what's endometriosis?
It's a feminine disorder.
Okay.
It's basically, it's a lack of nutrients. But,
duh. But,
yeah.
What does it cause?
Well, that's complicated. I can't tell you right off the top of my head, but for example, my first wife told me she could never get pregnant because she had endometriosis.
Okay.
It's a uterus problem. And basically, she got pregnant because I'm like fertile Myrtle. And supposedly, if a woman does get pregnant with endometriosis, it actually corrects the endometriosis for some weird reason or something or other. I don't know. But anyway, I don't know everything there is to know about endometriosis. I just know my first wife had it. She was supposed to not get pregnant, but she got pregnant anyway. And but then it may not also be because I'm fertile. It may be because of the other reason that we're not going to discuss. But anyways, it's a uterus problem. And so basically I learned through studying alternative health that cows have the same problem as humans, and it's the same nutritional deficiency as in humans, and they have a cure for it, but I'm not allowed to tell you what it is. So you
right.
have to go do your own homework. I really don't remember what it is. But I remember enough to point you in the right direction. And the right direction is to find out how they fix it in cattle. And it's a nutritional deficiency. And that is the answer to endometriosis. But your doctor won't tell you that.
Because he don't fix cows.
That and, well, they do fix cows. But that's a different subject.
No, but, oh, yeah.
And actually, they don't fix cows. They just don't fix anybody. They want us to basically be part of their machine, their mechanism to make money. It's like while I was at Jamie's, we was watching TV, and I think there was a advertisement about a pill, and I can't even remember what the pill was good for. Oh, it was to lower your blood sugar. But not even halfway through the commercial, they were talking about all the side effects, and I was just like, it was just overwhelmed by the side effects that I totally forgot
what
the pill was supposed to help. You know, it's like, okay. And then at the end, after you had listed all the bad stuff, then they said, you know, then they reminded us what the pill's good for, because I totally forgot. And then said, you know, go talk to your doctor, you know. And
this pill will really fuck you up, but you still want to take it because it'll help you with your sugar.
Right. So the pill was for blood sugar, high blood sugar or whatever in the blood. But so it was to help you fix one problem, but it had like a half dozen to a dozen major problems, not to mention all the other ones they ain't telling you about, that they listed on the commercial. And it's like, Yeah, I think not.
I don't think I want that one.
Yeah, I can't even remember what the side effects were now, but it was horrible. Chest pains.
Don't pull your left nose nostril because, you know, it'll come out and...
Yeah, I don't remember. But there was this one, I heard this commercial where they were talking about, blood in your urine and stuff like that. The side effects were blood in your urine. So internal bleeding, the side effects was internal bleeding and some other garbage. I was like, holy cow, I can't believe people are actually stupid enough to take these pharmaceuticals.
Well, it must be good for you. They advertise it on TV.
Right. Kind of like that dumb blonde commercial. It was on the internet. Everything on the internet's true. And they never put that on TV. So, yeah, everything on TV is true.
Like, oh, my God. What's the matter with you people?
Yeah.
That's all right. All right, I was at Dollar General today. Their electronic system for taking credit cards and stuff was down. So they put a sign up on the floor saying cash only.
Oh, yeah.
And I go, you're not taking Federal Reserve notes? They're like, huh?
What's a Federal Reserve note?
Well, these things. Yeah, we're taking cash. This isn't cash. It's a note. See? It says so. And one lady read it and said, well, see, it's, dang, I forget what it says on the darn things. It says it's legal tender. Yeah, but that's not cash.
Right.
Cash is gold and silver. This is a note. It's no more than a check written by the Federal Reserve.
Right.
Saying that they will compensate you. But guess what they'll compensate you with?
More paper.
You put a match to this and it's got no value. It's got no intrinsic value. It's like, well, I wouldn't put a match to my money. Like, yeah, but if you put a match to gold or silver, you still got your gold and silver. It has an intrinsic value. Oh, huge disconnect. Like, that's all right. I'd rather you take my Federal Reserve notes. They're not worth as much as gold and silver. As long as you're willing to give me stuff for these crappy pieces of paper, I'll keep giving them to you.
I don't mind telling you, the scientific community, we're going to just drop your grip.
Turn it up.
Water says who cares. Drink me, I don't give a shit. Put me on your ass. I don't care. Water says leave me alone. I'm in the lake. Get oil away from my water, please. Some ice is water. Some water hasn't been water in a long time.
I'll start it over.
I'm going to get some water. It's going to water. This is your H2O, my friend. I don't mind telling you from the scientific community. Look at that. She just dropped two drips. Water says, who cares? Drink me. I don't give a shit. Put me on your ass. I don't care. Water says, leave me alone, I'm in the lake. Get oil away from my water, please. Some ice is water. Some water hasn't been water in a long time. It's ice in the North Pole. Long time no water. Ice, what are you, I'm ice, I was water. I'm hoping to be water again. After the ice age, ah.
ice made in the machine in the Holiday Inn. Well, you could be a hunk of ice that comes across a mail pouch sign in Minnesota in January 21. Sometimes I just say shit I never heard before, guys.
There's one that he was talking about water. It was hilarious. It was true, but it's hilarious. I don't know which one it was, though.
So they're talking about no water on the North Pole because it's ice.
Yeah, when I find it, I'll play it for the next podcast. But he's talking about drinking toxic waste and stuff like that. And he goes, we don't give a shit. We're Americans. You know? That's the American way. Drink toxic waste. And I don't want water without poison in it. That would be un-American.
Yeah, let's eat some radioactive tuna along with that. That'd be American.
Exactly. But I don't remember which one it was that he did. So, I'll have to find it.
Oh, my. That's why you need a stack of stuff, and you need to label it.
Right. Good luck with that.
Well, you know, you find stuff.
Well, I was listening to it while I was driving. That was the problem.
Yeah.
This might be it.
But say what you want about America, land of the free.
No, that's not it.
I was dancing with a woman. She told me she had a yeast infection.
Okay.
All right, we'll play that one real quick.
I was dancing with a woman. She told me she had a yeast infection. And she said, well, bake me a fucking loaf of bread. What, corn muffins, a jelly donut? I don't give a shit. I'm always in the market for quality baked goods. You couldn't squeeze a birthday cake out of that thing by any chance, could you, huh? No, I didn't think so. No pressure, honey. No pressure at all. Watch this turn around and get an upside down cake. And a dozen oatmeal cookies.
You what?
That's just gross.
That's too much for you to handle, huh? Yeah, I got too many. It'll take me forever to find it. Well, I can try this. Add to the gift there. Huh. I don't have Windows Media Player on here.
Oh, no. What programs do you got? You should be able to play it in most of the video players.
Yeah, I've been using this other one instead. What is this?
What surprised me is I can play videos in the picture viewer.
True that.
Yeah. It plays videos. It plays MP3s.
Ding dong dilly.
Yeah.
Windows. Here it is. Okay, I have Windows Media Player, and I have it updated. Why is this not working for me? Okay. Maybe it'll work this way.
I'd like to welcome you to the Southgate Mothers Club.
Good evening, Spartans. There's another type of television show that comes any shift in our foreign policy.
We'd like you to meet
another good friend of ours.
There are very few qualities.
Hi there, kids. We'll be back to George Carlin, and Dad does not get to see a whole lot of...
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm a fan of Western.
People always want to know how you get... Ding, ding, ding. The whole revolution... I used to be Irish Catholic. Now I'm in... I could do Father Burns. So there were other things that bothered me. Once a week, Muhammad Ali, Muhammad Ali. I love words. I thank you for hearing my words.
One of the things that occurred when I began to... How many did not wear a good, strong deodorant tonight? Birth control pill. I was a disc jockey. Now there are a lot. It's so... daytime television.
It's 8 o'clock in Los Angeles.
I live in a neighborhood too. I grew up in the neighborhood right now. We were attracted to the black news.
Yeah.
But I never got to do black voices on TV.
Yeah.
I'm 35 years old, which is great. And the parents dump a lot of things on you.
There's a lot of ways to imitate.
Prisons that make was
written. Rubidoo, rubidoo, rubidoo. You know how when you're teenagers, like maybe it's the first,
at any rate, what is that?
Did this, the metric system. I was an Irish Catholic, and I had to gay lib. Now, interestingly, here is an attempt by a put-down and kind of like persecuted minority. It's not as universal. Well, there are some subjects that are only 50% universal because of this. Another thing that's universal, farts, and we don't get to talk.
Max, take a look at the news.
Me and my friend Billy Heaney, this is something you can do for practical. Please return the stewardess to her original upright position. Anything that we'll do, and hot cross buns. Names are a part of words. Hey, names have a real impact, though. Names, baseball and football. Football is weird anyway, man. Flesh. Colored Band-Aid. That's another thing. Religion is like a lift in your shoe. It's important sometimes. And it helps you. Well, we've also met on the AM radio dial. You ever dial someone on the phone and forget who you're calling? My grandfather used to say something.
Did you ever notice there aren't many Chinese guys named Rusty?
Jeez, I hope I don't die.
Like, take a look at the news.
Any of the cliches. There are a lot of little phrases.
How's your dog?
In the supermarket.
This album has been made possible through grants from the following organizations. The Institute for Yahtzee Theory, the Society for the Preservation of Spanish Rice, the Bank for People on Horseback, the Ancient...
Hey, have you noticed that you never seem to get laid much on Thanksgiving?
Actually, this is just a place for my stuff.
Say, why not become a schmuck?
Oh, I had kind of an interesting... Got into an argument this morning with my Rice Krispies. I distinctly heard snap, crackle, fuck him.
Get one now. Everybody has one.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're privileged to have with us a man known all over the world as the Prince of Peace.
Jesus Christ. How are you, Jesus?
Fine, thanks, and let me say it's great to be back. Join the book club. Have you noticed that most of the women who are against abortion are women that you wouldn't want to fuck in the first place, man? I'm the Icebox Man at our house.
Hello, I'm a member of a new organization called the Fart Retrieval League. Hello, America. It's time to play asshole, jack-off, scumbag.
We're Consolidated International, and when I was a kid, I was known as a fussy eater.
Hello, I'm Bud from Bud's...
Then I began to realize that...
You've been listening to the erotic daydreams of...
Yeah. About time for me to get a little drink of water.
Here it is!
Figure this stuff is safe to drink?
Found it!
Actually, I don't care if it's safe or not. I drink it anyway. You know why? Because I'm an American, and I expect a little cancer in my food and water. That's right. I'm a loyal American, and I'm not happy unless I let government and industry poison me a little bit every day. Let me have a few hundred thousand carcinogens here. Little cancer never hurt anybody. Everybody needs a little cancer, I think. Good for you. Keeps you on your toes. Besides, I ain't afraid of cancer. I had broccoli for lunch. Broccoli kills cancer. A lot of people don't know that. It's not out yet. True. You find out you got some cancer, get yourself a fucking bowl of broccoli. That'll wipe it right out in a day or two. Cauliflower, too. Cauliflower kills the really big cancers. The ones you can see through clothing from across the street.
Broccoli kills the little ones. The ones that are slowly eating you away from inside. While your goddamn goofy half-educated doctor keeps telling you,
you're doing fine, Jim. In fact, bring your doctor a bowl of broccoli. He's probably got cancer, too. Probably picked it up from you. They don't know what they're doing. It's all guesswork and a white coat. Yeah. Let me have a few more sips of industrial waste. Maybe I can turn them cancers against one another. That's what you gotta hope for, you know, that you get more than one cancer so they eat each other up instead of you. In fact, the way I look at it, the more cancer you got, the healthier you are.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know some people.
What an idiot.
He's yeah, he's a comedian, but yeah, you know, he's bringing light to the fact that there's poisons in the water, and the doctors don't know diddly squat about cancer or anything else for that matter. It's all guesswork and a white coat.
Yeah,
but he's making comedy about it, so that the New World Order doesn't come down on him so much. But we all know the truth. Some of us accept not to believe it.
Yeah. About time for me to get a little drink of water. You figure this stuff is safe to drink?
Yeah. The audience said, no! They know better.
Actually, I'm here to say, for not, I drink it anyway. You know why? Because I'm an American, and I expect a little cancer in my food and water.
Yeah, it's the American way.
That's right. I'm a loyal American, and I'm not happy unless I let government and industry poison me a little bit every day.
Right.
Let me have a few hundred thousand carcinogens here. Little cancer never hurt anybody. Everybody needs a little cancer, I think. Good for you. Keeps you on your toes. Besides, I ain't afraid of cancer. I had broccoli for lunch.
He's also making fun of us a little bit, but at the same time, You know, he's somewhat educating people.
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually passed away a few years ago.
Probably from cancer.
Well, who knows? I don't know. Let me Google that.
Probably a heart attack. Somebody probably gave him an injection. He died of the resulting heart attack, so they can get rid of him.
Yeah, he does do a lot of political comedy. That's one of the reasons why I like the guy, because he speaks the truth about the New World Order and the government. Bull crap. But he does it in his comedy. Like, what's his face? In the movie, what is it? An Honorable Man or something like that, where Robin Williams was a comedian and everybody wanted him to run for president, and he did, and he won.
Oh, God.
Right? But anyways, he was a comedian in the movie. Well, Robin Williams is a comedian. But he was a comedian in the movie, and he was basically doing the same thing that George Carlin does in real life in his comedy.
Right. So what if a comedian became president? Might end World War.
That would be funny if the comedian became president.
All right, did I tell you about this one? There's this guy who, this is from about 4 years ago. He drove for 10 years in the high occupancy vehicle lane in California. And I guess he was doing it in Marin County, where they require two or more persons in your vehicle. So he has his corporate papers sitting in the passenger seat, and he's sitting in the driver's seat. That's two persons. So, you know, he's passing through. He doesn't pay the toll and blah, blah, blah. And it took him 10 years to get a ticket.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was looking forward to it because he wanted to challenge this thing, you know, about corporations being a person. Anyway, here's the article. All right. So, high occupancy vehicle lanes. HOV lanes on highways are reserved for cars carrying at least two persons. But what's a person? The Supreme Court has declared that there are both natural persons, men and women, and artificial persons, like corporations. California traffic law recognizes both natural and artificial persons. Here's a story of a California man who was carrying his corporation charter in his passenger seat when he was stopped and ticketed for driving in the HOV lane with only one person in the car. He's defending himself by claiming that his corporation charter is, as per the Supreme Court, is also an artificial person, and therefore he had two persons in the vehicle.
Oh, yeah, that was what we were going to talk about on the podcast.
Yeah, the case is going to court. Yeah, so this is like 4 years ago. It'd be interesting to see how it went. The driver doesn't expect the police officer to appear, and therefore the case will be dismissed. Why? Because the implications are explosive. First, if corporation papers can be construed as a second person, the whole HOV lane scheme may be destroyed. That's interesting, perhaps amusing, but not profound. But second, as the commentator in the following video implies, what about those who are ticketed for driving in the HOV lane without a passenger, but who are carrying driver's license with all uppercase names like
Alfred N. Addisk. What if subscribers contended that the proper name were, say, Alfred Addisk, you know, with the capital A and the rest is lowercase, and therefore the name Alfred N. Addisk on their driver's license is a second and separate person?
Then everybody would have two persons in their vehicle.
Precisely. What would the courts have to rule about Addisk as a person separate from the person named Addisk? It doesn't read well because, you know, it's like Addisk all capital letters and Addisk properly punctuated. All right. Could the courts dare rule that Addisk in uppercase and Addisk properly punctuated were the same person? If they did, Addisk uppercase would merely be an alias for Addisk properly punctuated. I have to add words in order for you to understand, you know, because it doesn't say uppercase or properly punctuated. It just, but you can't see it when I read it. These questions are kind of amusing and silly, but what if the all uppercase name on your driver's license, say, Addisk all uppercase, really is presumed to be a second person, separate from the person of Alfred Addisk properly punctuated? What if the presence of your driver's license in your vehicle, what if the presence of your driver's license in your vehicle evidence that you, Addisk, lowercase, properly punctuated, are always carrying a passenger? Is the presence of your driver's license in your vehicle therefore evidence that your vehicle is being used to transport passenger and therefore engaged in commerce? Does your driver's license and the presence of the second person, like Addisk all uppercase, prove that you are driving a passenger vehicle? Under law, does the operation of a passenger vehicle place the driver under the greater liability than if he were merely traveling on the right-of-way? In other words, if you're moving one of their federal corporate persons around, are you working for the state? That's what it boils down to. And you might be. So, you know, I don't even have the thing in the vehicle when, you know, they issued me one, but I don't use it.
Right.
Suppose a handful of people were prepared to drive in the HOV lanes around the country without another natural person in the car and were eventually ticketed for improper use of the HOV lanes. Suppose these drivers were prepared to argue that the entity named in the uppercase letters on their driver's license constituted another separate person, and therefore there were two persons in the vehicle and the ticket should be dismissed. More, they might even ask the court to mandate that the police be prohibited to issuing HOV lane tickets to anyone who has a driver's license, i.e. the only people who could be ticketed for HOV violations would be those drivers who did not have driver's licenses or corporate charter in their vehicle and also did not have a second natural person. A defense along this line might compel the courts in several states to rule on whether an all uppercase name like Alfred N. Addisk in all caps is or is not a person other than the natural person named Alfred Addisk properly capitalized. If we had several rulings from several courts in several states as to whether Attisk, uppercase, and Attisk properly punctuated signify the same person or two distinct different persons, we would have evidence to prove or disprove the hypothesis that Attisk properly punctuated and Attisk uppercase signify different two different persons. If a handful, yeah. I mean, that's a question in the Patriot community over that stupid name. Alfred handled it by saying, okay, otherwise known as. And, you know, so they have to prove that it's another person before they can use that name when he walks into the courtroom. You know, it's like, what, you're saying it, this name is a person and it has responsibilities in your society? Because, you know, I just thought it was an alias for my name, and I'm an individual, and I have no responsibility to your society. You know, and that's his argument. I'm not sure he puts it quite that way, but, you know, that's basically his argument.
Right.
So he would force them to prove that it was a person in their society. It's like, oh, okay, well, fine. But while it's my alias, my otherwise known as, still you're talking about an entirely different entity when you talk about somebody who has a responsibility to your society, because I don't. You know, so go find your fictitious person and attack it. Anyway, if a handful of people were politically correct, had driver's license, current registration, and insurance, wanted to test the strategy, they probably wouldn't be risking too much, a fine of, say, $250, if they were found guilty of the HOV lane violation. In return for that $250, we might learn a lot about how the system really functions. In the California case cited in the video below, the driver predicts the cops won't show up at municipal court. The ticket will be dismissed, and the issue will be of whether the corporate charter constitutes a second person will therefore be avoided. If it turns out that the driver's predictions are correct, it will be prima facie evidence, but not yet proof, that the driver's second person defense is both valid and too politically explosive for the courts to consider. In other words, people have to keep trying until the courts finally figure out how they're going to handle it.
Right.
If a similar defense were used in other courts, and those courts reacted as the California drivers predicts will happen in his HOV lane case, we'd have good evidence that, one, any HOV ticket might be defeated by the presence of a corporate charter or even a driver's license in a car when he is ticketed is issued. And more importantly, two, that the all uppercase name really does signify a person other than that of the natural man with the proper name like Alfred Attisk. If it turns out that the all upper name on the driver's license is a second person, what about the all upper case names on the registration and insurance documents? Is it possible that the presence of such documents provide separate evidence of the presence of second or even third person's passenger in the vehicle? The HOV lane might turn out to be a perfect laboratory for testing the all uppercase name versus proper name hypothesis. And then there's a video, which I watched, but I'm not going to play it for you guys. Do-do-do. And there's some comments. One of the first comments was, Was the corporate charter wearing a seatbelt when stopped? And that's important. You got to keep your corporate charter safe. It should wear its seatbelt also.
Yay for the seatbelt.
Yeah, somebody said, if corporations have First Amendment rights, then who is California to deny their right to free travel on the HOV lane?
Right?
If the corporate charter person was not wearing the seatbelt and the cop only ticketed the driver, what kind of breach of contract of conduct would that be construed as? What if I'm psychotic and I have two personalities? The state recognizes multiple personalities in one body, right?
There you go.
Ooh, bipolar. Where will that fit in? Hey, it's not my fault, officer. I'm beside myself with joy. All right, that's a little bit too long to read, so I might want to go back and read that. Yeah, there's lots of comments here.
Yeah.
I'm going to scroll
you
down.
You were right.
Go ahead.
You were right. He died of a heart attack. They probably killed him.
Yeah, they probably gave him an injection because it's hard to trace those.
Yeah. It was a famous person speaking out against the government, just like what they did with Dixie Chicks. Remember that?
Right.
Yeah, you know, they spoke out against the war and going to war in Iraq.
And they crucified them on television, basically.
Yeah, they basically blackballed them, and now they couldn't play their music on any radio station in the United States or any radio station that was governed by the FCC. Something like that. I don't remember all the details, but I remember they basically squished them. Dave Chappelle was talking about that the other day. Or, you know, he's a comedian also. He's like, I was going to speak up about the war, but you know, I'm a black man, and you see what they did to the three white chicks who spoke up against the war. Imagine what they'll do to a black guy.
Be dead meat.
I know, right? So yeah, they crucified the Dixie Chicks. But I went out and bought their albums afterwards to support them.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's all right. I barely knew what all the hubbub was about.
Yeah, I was.
I was waking up at the time. September 11th is pretty much what woke me up.
Oh, I was so busy September 11th, I didn't know what had happened for 2 weeks.
Right. I was starting to wake up previously, but September 11th is what kicked it into high gear. So, yeah, go get your blue and black sticker and support the police state.
No, thank you.
Support the increase in the size, the cost, extended reach, and the power of government. I mean, I support my local police, but I don't support the increase in the size, the cost, extended reach, and the power of tyrannical government. We need to go back to old school where we, the people, elected our local sheriffs and our local sheriffs reported to us, the people, not to the federal government.
Right.
They got one of those blue and black stickers that says retired in the blue section. Every time I see that, I think retarded. That's the words that go through my brain. You know, just that's what I first thought it said, retarded. I'm like, what? And look at it again. Oh, retired.
Yeah, so you stop them and ask them. Why do you got a sticker saying you're retarded? What?
Right. All right, well, that concludes the DDD podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com.
Woo!
We talk about everything retarded.
Yeah, for 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Yay. This podcast was okay. Not our best, but not our worst.
Yeah, ladies, call in and talk to us.
Call in.
Make it.
All right, I'm going to bed. Good night.
All right, good night.
Bye.